The reading this morning is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13, and can be found on page 1188 of the Pew Bibles. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive and who are left until the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Terry. Let's pray for Steve. Heavenly Father, we lift Steve to you now, and we pray that you will anoint him with your Holy Spirit, that the words that you have given him will then be given to us, that we may take them and heed them and apply them in our lives. So bless Steve now as he speaks to us in your name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Simon. Morning, everyone. Just give me a second. As Simon has said, we've reached the 50th question in our catechism study. There's two more to go, and they call that the antepenultimate, if I'm right. Yeah, antepenultimate, I'm happy for that. Two from the end, antepenultimate. And we finish with a flurry of big questions, like where is Jesus now? What is everlasting life? And today's question, what does Christ's resurrection mean for us? With all these big questions, the answers sometimes overlap each other. Over these last few weeks, we seem to pull up the same answers, which isn't a bad thing. And needless to say, our answer to this question is quite a long answer. It's 63 words long. Nothing like us Christians are putting more words down than we need to. So it's a big answer to a big question. And we could spend our time looking at all the events that led up to Jesus' resurrection. We could remind ourselves of the wonderful Easter story, which wouldn't be a bad idea. Easter wasn't that long ago. Or we could get our study books out and look through all the charts and all the timelines and all the diagrams. We could look through all the facts relating to Jesus' resurrection. We could ponder on all the activity that is to come. And it's quite an action-packed moment in the history of God's people. In fact, there's a whole industry out there on the subject of Jesus' return to earth. We have terminology like the end times, the second coming, the rapture, eschatology, and millennialism. I thought I'd stumble on those last two, but obviously got the right teeth in this morning. But joking apart, it is a big subject, it's a big part of being a Christian. Some years ago, I heard a great talk about Jesus' return, and the speaker was known to be a big Newcastle United fan. And he said that when Jesus returned, he doesn't mind where he'll be or what Jesus wants him to do. He said if Jesus asked him, he would even wear a Sunderland shirt. And for us Saints fans, that would be a Portsmouth shirt. I like the word that he would consider it. He never said that he would do it. When I used to go to watch the Cherries with my dad, it was always Swindon Town. Is it still Swindon Town of the Arch Enemy? You Cherries fans? No, not anymore. That's good. Good, good, good. It is good to get a better understanding of these things, of these big things. And I'm sure that if you want to do a study, Lee will recommend some good books to help. But for us this morning, it would be good to look at one of the first Christian churches trying to understand what Jesus' return to earth would mean for them at that place in that time. One writer on this chapter said that chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians is the great resurrection chapter. And our reading that Terry just read, verses 13 to 18, gives us easy steps to follow as we look at Jesus' return for ourselves. Evidently, some of the Thessalonian church members had died since Paul's last visit. So they were asking questions about what will happen to believers who die before Jesus' return. It's an easy question, an obvious question. Because they were expecting Jesus to return soon. So initially it didn't really matter to them. They thought, well, Jesus will be here any moment. They were, as a group of people, they would be holding on to all kinds of views about death and the afterlife. We all know that death changes things, changes the way we think. And like every group of people, these Thessalonians had their issues around the whole death, the whole business of death. Their culture would have filled their minds with mystical images and folklore and stories from their ancestors. Timely bell rings. And today, of course, it's no different. We haven't got to go too far from our church door to find examples of or evidence of people's thinking about death that may be different to yours and mine. Death does that. It's a funny thing. And it's a shame that we haven't got the questions that they were asking. And it seems that they were asking about grieving, about Jesus' return, and about meeting with God in heaven. So no lightweight questions from them. It's up there with a child asking, where did I come from? Big questions that need us to pause before we answer. Being filled with grief over the death of a loved one is something that we all experience. Of course we do. And Jesus would have grieved many times in his time on earth. We know about the time when his friend Lazarus died, causing Jesus to cry. And in that cruel and brutal times of Jesus' years on earth, he would have witnessed many killings and executions. It was that sort of place. Herod would have made people watch as people died. And the horror and gruesome picture of it all is too much for us even to consider. The worst things happened. And that, in those times, everyone knew everyone. So being made to watch such a thing would have been just unbearable. And sadly, that sickening behaviour is still around in our world today. So the Thessalonian people, they wanted Paul to explain what would happen once their loved ones had died or fallen asleep, as our reading says. They wanted to know if their people would be left behind when Jesus returned. Paul assures them that all people who follow Jesus will have a life after their death. They have a life with Jesus after their death. And for us, hundreds of years later, that promise still stands. That's why we're here. So our grieving will always have an answer and a purpose. When we follow Jesus, our grieving is never empty. It may be overwhelming sometimes. It may bring out the best and the worst in us. I know that when I'm grieving, time seems irrelevant. We sometimes have to remind ourselves what day it is. Routine becomes troublesome. Sometimes we're doing nicely and sometimes we're not. And that whole business with COVID, which I thought I would put in the right place in my mind and was at peace with it all. Last week, some of the main characters in that whole horrible time in our history were on our TV, and it brought all that nastiness back up again. I thought I'd put this in the right place, but clearly I hadn't. COVID will always be there. We as a church have lost some lovely people in that awful moment. But back to our resurrection chapter. Paul takes these new believers from grieving to a place of sure and certain hope. And our reading looks more like a creed, stating what we believe, more like a creed than just a letter. Let me give a quick look through. We believe that Jesus died and rose from death. We believe that God will bring with Jesus those people who had died. We believe that all followers of Jesus will meet with him and recognize him as the Lord. We believe that we will live with the Lord forever. We will. It's mentioned six times in that short reading. We will. Things will happen. It's intentional. It's going to happen. God's plan will be carried out. There's no stopping it. It will happen. I like the bit trumpets will sound. Trumpets often appear certainly in the Old Testament. And it's good that Jan is here. And that Jan likes sort of brass instruments. I used to play in the Oakmead School Band. Good old Oakmead. And, of course, trumpets aren't a brass band instrument. They're an orchestral instrument. I wonder what trumpet they used. They could have used an E-flat or a C trumpet. These things are important when you're a brass band player. They probably had a single straight tube like a post horn. Apparently, some long post horn type trumpets were found in Tutankhamun's tomb. Obviously, the brass band image gets everywhere. I also read that they were used for military purposes and for religious ceremonies. I don't know if there's a bigger religious ceremony than Jesus returning to earth, but I think that takes the biscuit. Trumpets will sound. The archangel will shout. Clouds will appear. Something big is going to happen. Another writer said that there has been one person for whom death was not a defeat. rather death itself was defeated. One person indeed, one person called Jesus. We've studied the book of Hebrews quite a bit over these last few years, and we know that Jesus made that once for all sacrifice to beat death, so that we can beat death. And then we can join in with all the celebrations in heaven. Those trumpets can sound all night if they want to. Part of the answer to our question says that Christ triumphed over sin and death by being physically resurrected, so that all who trust in him are raised to new life in this world and the world to come. I was talking with Dave Aston last week about this talk. It's been mulling around in my head, and he said it's really impossible to put into words what Jesus has prepared for us. We haven't got the words to correctly explain what it's all about, what Jesus coming back to the earth, what the resurrection story is all about. We haven't got the words to explain it. It sounds quite flat when we put it into our English language. It would be foolish to try to find the right words. There will be a moment in time when Jesus will return to earth. There will be a time when we will meet with him. We don't need to be worried or scared at what may happen. Rather, be excited by the wonder of it all. So come on, sound those trumpets. Let's hear the archangel shout. You can bring those clouds down as low as you like, because I'm going. Whatever you say, Lord. Just going to finish with the last two verses of the reading. We will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. Amen.